Peace and blessings be upon you. Welcome to the Ta'lif Podcast, a space where we aim to provide content and connect our spiritual hearts with community, love, service, and prophetic wisdom.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we start by reciting Surah Fatiha, given as a gift to Sheikha Samira Azayed for this text, alhamdulillah. Bismillah, Surah Fatiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from Sheikh Samira Azayed. We, of course, are just so honored in order to be able to benefit from this text. And so without further ado, I just want to, of course, welcome you to this class, to this seerah class. We start with the translated intention of Imam al-Haddad. Please feel comfortable to repeat after me. And then after that, bi-idhni Rabbi, we will build upon those intentions, inshallah. So I intend to learn and to teach, to benefit, and to be benefited, to remind and to be reminded, to call to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to guide and to be guided by soundproof and correct knowledge, to seek the countenance of my Lord, nearness to Him, and His reward. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. We're also here by the intention to expose ourselves to the mercy of Allah, to expose ourselves to His maghfirah and His generosity. We're here by the intention to ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's endless forgiveness and His pardon. By this class, we intend to seek refuge in Allah from ghafla, from heedlessness, that we may draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, near to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that we may be blessed and beautified with His sunnah, that we may be blessed and beautified with His character, with His akhlaq. We're here by the intention, of course, to bring our hearts close to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with hubba, with love, muwadda, that we're to love what Allah has loved, to honor whom Allah has honored. We're here by the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take us out of ignorance and that He would bring us into light, into knowledge. And by that we may enter into Jannatul Firdaws al-A'la with our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, us and all those whom we love and our entire lineage to Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allahumma ameen. So with that being said, inshallah, we will begin class. This period of time that are discussing in the life of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, we're currently on the portion of his hijrah, his migration into Medina. And subhanAllah, last week we talked a little bit about his entrance into Medina and how significant it was, and how when he arrived in Medina, the Prophet stayed at the home of Ayyub al-Ansari, a particular Sahaba who is buried in Turkey. But before, I want to actually take this time and back up a little bit. We passed over, a particular section that I want to emphasize even a little bit more. We talked about how when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam arrived, right before he arrived in Medina, that he went into a city of Quba. And in this city of Quba, as we're very familiar with, subhanAllah, he stayed just a few days. And there's a few minor narrations that says he stays up to 14 days. But what we know is that in the beginning of those days, subhanAllah, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam begins the foundation, right? Begins actually him and the companions who are there bringing in the rocks and the bricks from the volcanic. Basically, there's like the area of Medina as well as Mecca is surrounded by these volcanic rocks. And so, subhanAllah, they're bringing in these rocks, including the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Can you imagine? After such a long journey, after this, not only his migration, but also these assassination attempts on his life, that when he arrives, subhanAllah, he doesn't even rest for very long. As we said, the most relied upon positions is that he was only inside of Quba for 3 or 4 days. And inside of those 3 or 4 days, he's even, subhanAllah, taking that moment, that opportunity to build, right? To build to build the foundation of Masjid al-Quba. It takes a total of 7 months for Masjid al-Quba to be built. However, as the Messenger of Allah salatu wasalam starts to bring and pick up those large lava rocks, until the point that there were other companions who were like, Ya Rasulullah, I see you straining. I see it difficult. Let me get it for you. And he would say, take one just like it, meaning that you're not going to get this ajr from my hand, subhanAllah, that you get your own ajr. And so in those first 3 or 4 days, the Messenger of Allah is already establishing, right, some of the most foundational things to the center of our deen. He's building a masjid. He's building a place where the community is going to gather. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the Messenger of Allah about the purity of these people, right, who are helping. And so, subhanAllah, because of the purity of those who are helping, because of the purity of the people who are in Medina, and when the Prophet asked about this particular purity, they responded, "O Messenger of Allah, like we heard that the Jews used to make istinja, right? They used to clean themselves after you going to the bathroom." And he said that we also did that. And because of that, right, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them, right, for their tahara. And he mentions them. But of course, this is partly their external tahara, right, was based upon their internal tahara, was based upon the internal purity of their hearts, that they wanted to do something strictly for the sake of Allah and to build something, a masjid strictly that's built upon the foundation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in the Quran because of this purity, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He loves, right, Allah yuhibbu al-mutahirun, that He loves those who purify themselves. And so we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to continue to bless them and their entire lineage of those who built Masjid al-Quba. For we know that whoever travels, right, with no other intention except to pray in this house, in Masjid al-Quba, that they are rewarded with the equivalent of an umrah, which is subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them the reward and the ajr of the umrah without even going all the way to Mecca, subhanAllah. But this is from the ajr of Allah. What I want to focus tonight's class on is one of a particular companion of the Prophet والسلام, who visits the Messenger of Allah والسلام, while he's in Quba. And this particular companion that we know of is no other than Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And the beloved Messenger of Allah والسلام, has such a love for Salman al-Farisi that he says, Salman al-Farisi min ahl al-bayt, right? That Salman al-Farisi manni. Salman al-Farisi is from me and I'm from him. And Salman, and another narration that Salman al-Farisi min ahl al-bayt, meaning he's from me, subhanAllah, he's from my home. And we know that when we look, you know, that Salman al-Farisi is Persian, right? He's from what we now know, you know, as the people of the Farsi people, subhanAllah, he's of the Persian people. And so what is the Prophet saying? He's like, his level of love, right? The level of love, the level of connection that he feels to Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu ta'ala an, is so close that the beloved Messenger of Allah says, Salman is from me. Right? Allahumma salli ala sayyidina habibina mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And so with this being said, one particular evening when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting in Al-Quba, as a matter of fact, it was after a gathering, Salman al-Farisi comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Salman is looking for something specific. And we'll actually get to that at the end. But it's in this moment that Salman literally confesses his love for the Messenger of Allah, and he takes his shahada. He begins to tell us the story. He begins to tell the Messenger of Allah, and of course, by narration of this hadith, he begins to tell us this particular story. And the Prophet of Allah was so intrigued by his story that there were other companions who were around. And as the Prophet was pleased to hear it, he also wanted the other companions to hear his story. And so Salman al-Farisi was from a people that were fire worshippers, right? That they were those who worshiped the fire. And his father was a chief of that tribe. And his father being the chief of that tribe, he was responsible, of course, for keeping up the fire. And subhanAllah, Salman al-Farisi was so loved by his father that his father actually would keep him at home. That his father never wanted him to leave the home, right? He was always afraid that something might happen to him or some harm may come to him. And he never wanted him to leave his side. And he would prefer confess his love for Salman radiallahu ta'ala an in this way, right? Except one particular time, his father said, I have to go out to attend to the needs of a particular people. And because of that, I'm not going to be able to go to this village, right? And so he sent him out on this particular task and said, I want you to represent me at this time in this particular village. And so, subhanAllah, Salman did exactly that. He attended first to the kindling of the fire. His job was to make sure that the fire would not go out. But as he attended to that, and then he went about the task that his father had put him on, Salman actually passed by, before reaching to the village, he passed by a particular church. And when he was at the church, he actually would hear the prayers of the people who were inside the church. And it intrigued him so much. It actually literally pulled his heart toward them. That Salman actually went and listened to them. He sat and he listened with them, and then he joined them, intrigued by their prayers and what they said other than mine. And he wanted to join them. So that night, when Salman returned back to his home, of course, his father was in a panic. His father was going frantic. And as his father was going frantic, I said, son, I've been looking all over for you. Did you ever reach the village that I instructed? He said, no, father, I never reached that village. I ended up passing by a church, and Salman begins to explain to him the prayers that he heard recited and how he sat with them and that he enjoyed this worship with them for that time. And Salman began to discuss with his father that he wanted to join him. And of course, his father did not have the same reaction as Salman did. He said, no. He said, I swear, these people are not better than us. Right. And their religion is not better than the religion of your forefathers. And so he then at that point chained Salman Farisi radiallahu ta'ala an to the home, right? To the home. But interestingly enough, before Salman had left, before he left that evening, he asked the people, like, where are your leaders? Where are those who are training you and teaching you in this way? And the people told Salman, like, our teachers, like our leaders, they're in Hashem. Right? And so when Salman was in those chains in his home, confined by his father in this kind of like home imprisonment, he then would send a message. He sent out a message that if there is a group, right, that is coming from Hashem, let me know. Get word to me that they are, that they have reached the city. And sure enough, that they had reached this village where this church was. And sure enough, after a period of time, a message came to Salman, like, a group of them has come. So Salman sent another word and said, when they are departing from their journey, let me know, right? Make me aware. And so not long after that, a few days after that, the message came to Salman and Farisi radiallahu ta'ala that they were going to depart. He then managed to escape, getting himself out of the chains. He escaped to where they were, and he actually left with that caravan to Hashem. Right, literally putting his life in Magianism behind him, right? Putting his life of fire worshiping as well as this kingdom with his father behind him. And Salman actually goes, right? And he asks, like, who is the most righteous amongst you? And he's directed to a particular bishop. And he goes and he serves that bishop and lives with this bishop for a number of years. But what he discovers about the bishop is that the bishop is actually not a good man. He's not actually a man of his word. He's not a man of righteousness. What he discovered about him is that even though he felt like what he was teaching was true, he at the same time, he noticed that he would take the alms from the parishioners, those who were giving to give to the poor, giving to him to give to the poor. Instead of giving the alms to the poor, he was actually hoarding them for himself. Now, when this man passed away, and the parishioners came to bury him, Salman felt compelled to tell them exactly what this man, was doing, what exactly this man had been practicing all of those years. And he told them, listen, this man is an evil man. The money that you've been giving, right, to support the poor, he's not giving it to the poor. He's not doing with that money what he's supposed to be doing. And so initially they didn't believe him. They didn't believe Salman. And so subhanAllah, they asked to prove, and surely Salman produced for them, showed them this is where this treasure is, where he's been hoarding this gold and silver for years until it reached more than 7 buckets of gold and silver. The people then, of course, then collected their money back, distributed it amongst the poor, but then refused to bury him. Right, refused to bury him and said, that's it. Like they then, Salman at that point said, I now that you are in this position, is there anyone that you can direct me to who is righteous that I may be able to learn from, to study from, and to follow? And so at that time, they direct him to Mosul. And he goes to Mosul, subhanAllah. And initially, he is that sheikh, that teacher, that priest, right, is replaced, right, by another one. The people actually replace him with another teacher. And Salman lives with that man and serves that man until that man passes away. It's not long after that that this one passes away. But while he's on his deathbed, you know, after he professes, like, you were what I was looking for, replaced this man, and you were righteous, you were good, you were on the straight path, you were clean-hearted. He says, is there anyone, right, that you could direct me towards after you, now that you're in this moment of facing Allah's decree? And the man then instructs him, go to such and such person in Mosul. And so he goes to Mosul, going to this particular tribe, and he lives in Mosul for a number of years. He finds that particular priest, so-and-so, and he actually stays with him, studies with him, serves him. And he was a righteous man. He was a good man. And then upon his deathbed, which wasn't long after that, he said, can you please instruct me, right, now that you're in this moment of facing Allah's decree, is there anyone that you can instruct me with that I may be able to go and learn and study with him? And so then he sent him to another regent, right? So first he's gone from Sham, he's gone to Mosul, and now he's going to the Amurian. And so as he goes to that particular region, he goes to the priest or the bishop, the bishop that he was instructed to study under, to learn from, and he found him to also be a righteous man. And while he's, you know, living and you know, worshiping and serving him, it's not long after actually that he dies. But when he dies, he actually, during that time, Salman is more settled, he's more stable. He actually gains a number of sheep as well as, you know, cattle and land while he's there. And so when he passes away, he says, is there anyone that you know that you could direct me to that I would be able to study and learn from and that I would serve them? And so actually this particular bishop says to him, for now you are in the age of prophecy. You are in the age where revelation is descending, that there is a prophet who was on the way of Ibrahim, who is on his way. Like, and these are the signs you're going to know him. One, he's going to immigrate to a land where there are palm trees. And then he gives him and says, and you will know him directly by 3 signs. One, that he does not eat of charity. Right, that you can give him, but he will not eat of things that are of charity. But he will eat from things that are a gift. He accepts gifts, but not charity. And lastly, he has the seal of the prophecy between his 2 shoulders. And this is something, subhanAllah, that the beloved messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he had this seal, this mark, this like an emblem, a mole that was between his 2 shoulder blades. And so, subhanAllah, with Salman having this in his mind, recognizing that, these were the things that he's looking for, he continued to live his life. He remained in Amurian for a number of years until he heard about the tribe of Bani Kalb from a region, of course, where there are palm trees. When he heard about this particular group of people coming from Bani Kalb, he asked them, can I travel along with you? Can I be in this caravan with you? And basically he sold to them his sheep and his cattle in order for them to take him along on this journey. Well, while they were on the journey, they actually betrayed him. They actually committed treachery against him and sold him into slavery to a Jewish man. And when they sold him into slavery to a Jewish man, Salman al-Farisi radiallahu ta'ala and served this Jewish man for a number of years. Until one particular day, He was climbing up a tree in service, taking some of the, basically harvesting some of the fruits from the trees. And his owner, his master, was sitting at the bottom of a tree, and his cousin came to visit. And as his cousin came to visit, he began to talk about basically how upset he was. And then Yathrib had, you know, had basically given over the city to a man that was claiming to be a prophet. And he began to describe him. At that moment, Salman al-Farisi began to tremble and to violently shake, to the point that he said he thought he was going to actually fall out of the tree, subhanAllah. But he quickly was able to gather himself, and he climbed down the tree and, subhanAllah, went and asked, "What did you say? Could you please repeat what you said?" And at that moment, the Jewish slave master then slapped Salman and said to him, "Like, what business is it of yours? Go back to your work." Upon which Salman al-Farisi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "I just wanted to make sure that I heard what he said." And so, subhanAllah, you know, this, as he hears the words, he begins to learn more and more. After a period of time, of course, during the moment that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, while he, Salman, is in slavery, that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, now he's in Al-Quba at this particular time. And so, subhanAllah, when he hears that the Messenger of Allah has arrived in Quba, when he continues to listen another day, right, the cousin comes and gives news to the slave master that the one that they're looking for, that they're waiting for, has arrived in the city of Quba. And surely Salman al-Farisi goes to that particular place in Quba and finds the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, sitting there in a gathering. And as he's sitting there in the gathering the first night, he comes and he says to him, "I know that you and your friends, your companions are strangers in this land, and you may be in need of some charity." And so he then offers some food to the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, but as charity. He notices that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, calls over his companions. He gives his companions the food. They eat from it. But the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, himself does not eat from it. Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to himself, "This is the first time." Immediately the next night, Salman al-Farisi returns. And he says, "I noticed that you do not eat from charity. So here is a gift that I give to you." And at that moment, the Prophet ﷺ also calls the companions over to join in his food, to join in the meal that Salman has brought. But this time, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, also partakes from the meal. Salman notices this is the second hype sign. And so with that, after the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, they finish their meal, Salman al-Farisi actually walks behind the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he notices, right, he's trying to look, right, down the shirt of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's looking for the seal. The beloved, alayhi salatu wasalam, knowing exactly what Salman al-Farisi is looking for, actually lowers his garment. And he lowers his garment so that the seal between the beloved shoulders of our Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, can be seen. And immediately when Salman al-Farisi catches eye of it, he falls down to his knees at the back of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he kisses the seal, for he knows that he has finally found exactly what it is that he's been longing for, what he's been yearning for. For that guidance, for the one of revelation, the one who can guide him into all truth. And so the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam then tells Salman al-Farisi, "Come in front of me, come in front of me." Salman al-Farisi comes and he sits and he begins to tell the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam his life and his story. But subhanAllah, it doesn't end there. Salman begins to say, to begin to describe to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that he is currently a slave, that he is currently in service to a Jewish master. Upon which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam tells him, "Go ask for a manumission contract. Go ask him for what is it that you need, right, in order to for me to be free? The Jewish slave master then comes and tells him 300 date palms, as well as 40 ounces of gold. So, you know, Salman al-Farisi comes back to the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, almost a bit defeated. But the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, immediately tells the other companions around him, help your brother. One by one by one, some offering 50, some offering 30, some offering 20, until it reaches 30 date palms are given to Salman al-Farisi. And Salman is then instructed by the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, go dig the holes, right? You go dig the holes where it is we have to plant these date palms. And sure enough, subhanAllah, Salman al-Farisi, he goes, he digs the holes, but also there are other companions who are there to help him. And this is so significant in terms of the brotherhood that's being built between the companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there's this deep sense of responsibility for each other, this deep sense of that we have to help our brother, of course, be free, that we have to help him in his liberation, that this is what we do with our privilege. This is ta'awun, this is cooperation, how we come together in order, right, in order to make sure that none of us is in a situation of slavery, that none of us is in a situation of being in a type of submission or slavery to anyone other than Allah Azza wa Jal. This was something that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged so much that all of the companions who were with him are learning, are partaking in this particular lesson. So now when it comes time to plant them, it is recorded that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam himself put each of those date palms in the ground except for one. One of them was planted by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an in the most relied upon narrations, and one particularly by Salman al-Farisi. All of those date palms survived except the one. When the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam saw this particular date palm, he said, who planted this one? And it was said that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and planted it, upon which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam dug it up and then replanted it back with its own hands. By Allah's grace and mercy, today we're still eating from these date palms. We're still eating from the dates from the garden of Salman al-Farisi, subhanahu radiallahu ta'ala an. And these ajwa dates that are known, they're known for their healing practices, their healing properties, subhanAllah. And they are something that if you eat them in the morning, they're known to reduce sugar as well as high blood pressure, subhanAllah. These are something that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the books of Tibb al-Nubuwa, like in the books of prophetic medicine, you will find so many wonders about the healing qualities and the healing properties of the ajwa dates, the dates from the garden of Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu ta'ala an. Even recently when we returned from Medina, this was something that, of course, we're all seeking. How do we still, what's beautiful about this is that we as Muslims today are still benefiting from the miracle of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're still benefiting from that which the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, planted with his own hands. In addition to, subhanAllah, one particular day, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is given a nugget of gold that was actually mined in a nearby mine, that was actually found in a nearby mine, and given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam this nugget of gold. And immediately, the Salman al-Farisi comes to the mind of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he calls Salman al-Farisi for this nugget of gold, and he places it in his hands, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, like, I want to be, what is this for? The Prophet then puts some saliva of his own saliva on the gold nugget and returns it back to Salman al-Farisi, upon which when he goes to weigh it, it is exactly 40 ounces. It is exactly what Salman al-Farisi needs in order to be freed. SubhanAllah. Again, another mu'jiza, another miracle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And after that, the beloved Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has freed one of his companions from slavery, one of the greatest companions that subhanAllah ever lived and died with the Messenger of Allah. Now, interesting, Salman al-Farisi, even though the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions him, like Salman is of me and I am from him, Salman al-Farisi is known to not be able, to not have been able to participate in the Battle of Badr, nor did he participate in the Battle of Uhud, because at that particular time he was in slavery and he was not permitted. However, Salman was present at the Battle of the Trench. Interestingly enough, this comparison between what was dug for him, right, in order for his freedom, that Salman would be the one who would help dig the trench, right, for others, that would be a freedom from war as well as a freedom of death, subhanAllah, a deep type of liberation that the Muslims enjoyed at the hands because of the miracle of the trench. And Salman al-Farisi was, of course, one of those very hands that helped dig the trench with his same brothers that once, subhanAllah, had brought him those date palms. And so when we look at, subhanAllah, this blessed Mubarak brotherhood that exists, how the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is joining the hearts, but joining the hearts in a way that helps us understand that it's not just about, many times it's easy for us to join hearts with someone who's on our same level, whether it be our same economic level, or they're from our same race or our same tribe, our same ethnicity, from the same, neighborhood, or they're from the same, economic background. Sometimes even economic backgrounds can be a bigger barrier even than sharing, even than racial barriers or ethnic barriers or language barriers, that people actually who find themselves, if they're at a particular echelon economically, they find themselves able to connect more than sometimes even what would be considered their own people of a different economic status. And so in this moment, with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, like, he's removed in saying that Salman is of me and I am of him, radiallahu ta'ala an, and that Salman is from Ahlul Bayt. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is doing two things. Number one, he's healing the heart of Salman al-Farisi by saying, you're not foreign, right? You're not different, that you are of me. He's giving him a deep sense of belonging, that Salman al-Farisi, you belong to me and I belong to you. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Habibina Mawlana Muhammad. But also, he's also teaching the other companions that he is of you as well, that he is your brother, that your connection is the deen of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, in further than that, right, they jump over your economic boundaries, right, and help your brother. Help your brother. This is what he says, help your brother. And one can say, well, I don't have all of it. But no, collectively, if you bring something and I bring something, you bring something and I bring something, that collectively we can be the means of liberation for many. And so this is the case where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was just demonstrating the actions of true brotherhood, the actions of cooperation, right? And of course, we all know what this great love that Salman al-Farisi, also in terms of converts, right? Those who are sincere in seeking a path toward Allah, that whoever seeks out on a path seeking Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah will facilitate their path. Even what I love about the story of Salman al-Farisi is even the moments that one may think is a trial, or one may think is a problem in the plan, or that one may see as a great misfortune, it's actually the fortune of Salman al-Farisi. Like, as he's searching out the way, some parts of it come easy. His being able to travel and to go and to see these different bishops. But when it comes to that moment where, subhanAllah, he's actually sold into slavery, that being sold into slavery actually brings him closer to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And subhanAllah, being able to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even for the trials, even for the things that you think are actually going to take you away from your mission, but in reality, they end up throwing you closer toward your mission. And this is the case with our beloved Salman al-Farisi in terms of the lessons that he teaches us, right? In terms of how he shows us that even our trials bring us closer to Allah, bring us closer to the Messenger of Allah, and shows us how Allah will not only fulfill our mission, but that he will deliver us from our difficulties. And so with that being said, I want to, we had already covered, subhanAllah, what happens next when the Messenger of Allah leaves Quba, right? And then he arrives into Medina. And as he arrives into Medina, after praying Jummah, right? Praying Jummah and then leaving and arriving in Medina, and subhanAllah, allowing his beloved camel to choose, right? Which home is going to, that's going to stop. Which family he's going to stop at. And of course, every one of the Ansar, every family that they passed, all of the Ansar families that he passed, the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, is quieting. Of course, they're like, please stay with me, O Messenger of Allah. Please let me be the one. They want the honor. Like, we will be generous with you. We will protect you with our arms and our life. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, this camel is guided. Right? This camel is guided. Let her choose. The camel is guided, let her choose. SubhanAllah. And that's exactly what happens. And as we mentioned last week, the camel ends up at the home of Ayyub al-Ansari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, companion of the beloved Messenger of Allah, salatu wasalam. And he stays there and actually receives guests there. And subhanAllah, we will pick up from there this new brotherhood, right? Then the Prophet salatu wasalam, has just been building, right? From Darul Arqam. From Dar al-Arqam to even the brotherhood, that's the brotherhood and sisterhood that's building, subhanAllah, even in Abyssinia and then into Quba and then into Medina, that this becomes a new, we begin to understand the sense of belonging, right? On a different level, on a higher level. We begin to understand the sense of belonging comes with a sense of not only do we sacrifice our, you know, material things, and but we also, there's a sense of like a sense of sacrifice of privilege, like what do we do, what is the responsibility of privilege that comes, that when you are in a certain position of privilege, how it's meant for you to be able to assist others, and subhanAllah, of course, how that comes back. That begins to build, of course, how we get, you know, Madinatul Munawwara. Of course, Madinatul Munawwara is by the light of the beloved Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that just shines upon Yathrib, turning it from a rocky, difficult place into a city of lights, right? Into a city, to everything. When the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, arrived in Medina, everything lit up, everything shined. But also, it's that it shined upon the hearts of those who were with the Messenger of Allah. It shined upon the hearts of the Ansar and the Muhajireen, that they were able to reflect that light of love, that light of rahmah, right? That light of responsibility, that light of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that light, subhanAllah, of just what it means to love each other for Allah's sake. That light, it just, it's kind of like when a light bounces and bounces and bounces and bounces. This is what we see, that the light of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam begin to bounce on the people who were present, upon the hearts and the minds and the tongues and the actions of the people who were around him, upon these blessed companions. May the light of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam shine its light upon us. May we be a means by which that light continues to bounce into the great, into our future. Jazakumullah al khair. So we'll close out in dua, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Habibina Mawlana Muhammad. Wa ala hadi Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammad. Ya Allah, we thank you for allowing us to be from amongst the Muslims. Thank you, O Allah, for allowing us to be those who testify of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, fill our hearts with love for whom you love and honor from whom you have honored. Allah, we ask that you please illuminate us with a light from your light. Ya Rabbi, increase us with an intelligence and a wisdom from you, Ya Al-Hakim. Grant us a hikmah from you, Ya Al-Hakim. Ya Allah, please preserve us in every goodness. Please preserve us in every khayr and everything that is beneficial. Ya Allah, we ask that you please bring us near and closer to you. Ya Allah, we ask that you please bring us near and closer to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allow us to see him on a regular basis in our dreams, receiving mubashara, glad tidings from him, instruction from him, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, increase us in beneficial knowledge and save us from anything that would harm our iman. Ya Allah, we ask that you please preserve us, Ya Rabbi, in ihsan. Preserve us with ihsan. Make us people of siddiq and ikhlas. Make us amongst those, Ya Allah, who are from upon sirat al-mustaqim. Protect us from our enemies and the enemies of us and the enemies of you. Make us amongst those, Ya Rabbi, who recite your book with understanding. Make us amongst those who recite your book, Ya Rabbi, and receive a light from it, who receive insight from it, who receive understanding from it, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you please bless us to reach the month of Ramadan and to fast in it. Allah, please preserve us in this deen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you for tuning in. Please consider becoming a monthly sustainer by joining 1,000 Hearts of Ta'lif and committing to give $3 a day to keep this work coming to seekers, youth, and newcomers to Islam. Sign up today at www.ta'lifcollective.org/donate. We hope you enjoyed the variety of sessions available and hope you benefit immensely. Allah bless you and Allah bless your loved ones.